It's the caffeine, the nicotine, the milligrams of tar. It's my habitat, it needs to be cleaned. It's my car, it's the fast talk they use to abuse and feed my brain. It's the cat box, it needs to be changed. It's the pain, it's women.
I'm joined today once again by my good friend Joseph at I Hate Your Club and Sean at Flargy.
Howdy.
Hello.
We've got a lot to talk about today. We have a new season upon us. There's hope in the air, transfers aplenty, plenty of bullshit and shenanigans going on. And a lot to look forward to. There's been a few teams that have made a splash in the transfer market, maybe a little less than normal, but a lot of stuff has been going on, and we have a lot to reflect on. Starting with the Premier League, I think we haven't really seen too much action as we would have expected. You know, usually by around this time, you know, everyone's got their squad filling out, ins and outs are happening.
We're usually jealous of five or six transfers around the league, and City's thrown a bunch of money to the other clubs, the lower clubs, who've then raped and pillaged other clubs, and there's usually been, you know, 20 transfers to talk about.
Yeah, absolutely.
But so far, I think the club with the most transfers might be QPR. QPR or West Ham.
They have
West
a lot.
Ham. Yeah, QPR.
They've both been busy.
Who have QPR brought in?
They brought in. Who did they bring in?
I know they brought in Park from United.
From United, they got
right.
But they also loaned one of the Silva twins, right?
Oh, that's right. The lesser talented one.
The lesser Silva twin.
That would be Fabio.
Fabio.
Fabio da Silva.
Yeah.
Who else did they get?
I mean, I know
like
they got Park.
Six players on that list that they brought in Højlund. It's a good buy on a free.
Right.
That's right. All right.
That's big.
Lack of ambition on his part, though. I mean, there are a lot of big clubs interested in him. I mean, it kind of surprises him go to QPR.
Yeah, it was a little surprising, but you know, it keeps him in the Premier League. I don't know.
Decent wage, and he's going to play.
Yeah, he probably wants minutes, so I mean it makes some sense to me. But so really, in terms of the Premier League, there've only really been two teams that have really made a splash. That's Chelsea and Arsenal. Chelsea, it kills me seeing this because they've done all this business and they're looking to do more, and this is all just because they won one fucking game at the end of the season. None of this. I mean, look at the transfer they brought in. They brought in three, let's say, not established but highly talented players. They brought in Eden Hazard, Marco Marin, and Oscar.
I think Oscar's got to be – he's probably just one for the future at this point, even his age, don't you think?
You know, what strikes me is that they're all similar players. I mean, it's a real change in dynamic and one that I didn't really see Di Matteo going with. I could see – I don't know. They kind of strike me as AVB signings, honestly.
Yeah, I kind of agree with that.
Yeah, I don't think that Di Matteo has any say in the personnel that's coming in.
Right. He benched all of AVB's signings when he came in, and you know he stuck with the old guard, you know, Lampard, Drogba, but yet here are these players that are players that AVB would have loved to have during his tenure. I don't know. It's just odd to me.
It definitely seems they're players that kind of fit into a different kind of system than what they're used to playing. You know, it seems like these are players that are built for a 4-3-3.
Well, they're built for another manager who will be named at a later date.
Right. For the next manager, so it seems. But who knows?
Like I said, I just think that he's the head coach. He's not managing the personnel.
Well, we know who manages the personnel.
Yeah.
You guys want to take bets on when Di Matteo gets sacked? I have by November.
It just depends on their league position, man. You know, if they can't transition well, I mean, who knows? Torres could come in on fire and they could be doing well.
If they're anywhere in the top four, I think he stays because I think he sees it as a transition year. But you know, I mean, not where they're going to drop to, you know, even further down. But they're still turning this team over.
Has Abramovich ever been one for reason?
No.
I mean,
rhyme or reason.
I don't know. Maybe he'll calm down a little bit since he has that big trophy to look at.
I hope so, or maybe his ambition's even greater now. I mean, I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see, really.
As long as they're in contention, I think he'll be fine for a while. The thing is that I don't think that he will get the manager that he wants, at least until next summer. I don't think any of that's going to change during the season. So as long as the ship is sailing and they're in striking distance, maybe they won't be leading the league, but in contention, they're going to work on trying to repeat as Champions League champion. You know what I mean? Like, so I don't see too much changing along those lines. But in terms of these players, though, these are players, in the most part, that would not be going to Chelsea if it were not for the fact that they had Champions League football. Marin, you know? Would. Yeah, maybe Marin.
And Oscar probably would, too, because it's mostly about money.
All right, well, we know Hazard.
But Hazard is
never would have happened.
It wouldn't have happened.
It wouldn't have happened, you know? City. Well, look, well, we all know. I mean, he's a whore. There's no changing it. Look, when Tottenham were in third place, he was talking about going to Tottenham. As soon as they were kind of fell out of contention, they were no longer in the conversation. Oh, sure, Arsenal are back in the conversation once we're, you know, not in sixth place or something like that. You know, like that it all came back that way. And then Man City, Man United, and as soon as Chelsea won the Champions League, oh, shit, well.
He's probably talking.
All of a sudden.
He's probably watching it with his agent. Hey, give him a call.
Yeah, hold on. Wait for
it. You know what's funny is that he'll be probably 2 to 3 years, and I'll be fucking off to Madrid, so what's it matter?
Yeah, I mean, he seems to be another one that seems to look at it kind of as a stepping stone, kind of similar as to the way that we should have seen that Nasri looked at Arsenal, because that's
right.
Some of these players, they're just looking to, you know, make the next move. And
I mean, the difference is that Hazard, he's never hidden his ambition for Madrid. He's countless interviews he's talking about his love for Madrid and how he wants to go there, but he doesn't think he'll get the playing time. But, you know, he will at Chelsea, apparently, so...
Yeah, I think it will. It'll be interesting to see those four players, you know, or those three plus you have Mata there still.
Yeah.
So. God, fucking Mata.
Yeah, well, whatever.
There's a player we missed the bus on.
Yeah, but it's all right. So they brought those three players in. They've spent a shit ton of money. Because how much did they spend on... They spent like $30 million on Hazard himself, didn't they? What was it, 32, 30-ish?
It was like 35, I thought.
It's
32 it was a lot.
On him, 25 on Oscar, and Marin was 7.
7.
Marin was cheap. That was a deal, but he might not 70, come good. You don't know.
70 million pounds on those
and
three players.
You look at that, and that's double the outlay that we'll talk to about the other team who's done so much. Our beloved Arsenal have brought in 3 quality signings. All of which come with some decent pedigree, not our typical signings in which, you know, are completely unproven talent. I mean, we've got nearly 150 caps between these three players or so, right? Approximately, we got 100 from Podolski, 45 or so from Cazorla, 44 Cazorla, yeah. A few for Giroud, right? I mean, but he's only been there recently. But I mean, this is the guy who we're bringing in, who's the joint top goal scorer in Ligue 1 last season, and.
Right.
You know, coming from the championship winning team, you know, the team that he fired to the championship, basically.
Right.
How much have you seen of Cazorla?
I've seen plenty of Cazorla. I try to watch, you know, a good amount of La Liga. I've been watching him at Villarreal. You know, we faced him in the Champions League years ago. He was there.
I didn't watch him last year at Malaga. So
he was good at Malaga. You know, a lot of people really do rate him as being, you know, probably the best midfielder. Probably the best midfielder in La Liga outside of the top two.
Right. That's huge because in the league is as technically adept as La Liga. I mean, that's enormous. He's a quality player.
Yeah. I mean, I've always, when I first heard him being linked with Arsenal, I was a little skeptical in the sense just because, I don't know, he's quite diminutive, you know. He's no overpowering presence, but it's never slowed him down before, and you look at his...
Mata's not that big.
No, Mata's not that big.
I mean, the way I see it, if you could play international level, you can handle it. I mean, because you're gonna play guys this big anyways. I mean, there are very few players that play, you know, on the world stage that can't handle the Premier League.
Yeah, but I mean, he can hang. There's no doubt. I mean, I've seen him play enough. Definitely. You know, he's got great feet, and the best thing is that, like, you know, when you watch him play, he has no hesitation with either foot, and he'll spray balls all over the pitch. Great long range passing.
Yeah, I saw
technically sound.
Bad, but I haven't seen him. As long as Wenger really wanted him, I'm good with it. So.
Well, the big thing for them, it seems to be pretty clear that he brings Arsenal a different type of creativity and some vision and something that we lack, and gives us a lot more flexibility and versatility in terms of the different ways that the team can shape up. So, but all things considered, regardless of what they're going to do for the team in that sense, you look at the quality of players that they've brought in for the amount of money that they've brought in, for the collective cost of what? Of something under, even though the fees are never completely, disclosed, around, 35 million pounds, right? I mean, it's no more than that spent on three, quality international established players.
Looks close to 40.
Close to 40? Close to 40. All right. So three quality players under 40 million.
We've got a friendly with this weekend, which I'm sure is not in the fee, but it's part of.
Right. Well, that's part of the deal.
So that's another, that's a cost to that transfer too.
Yeah. This is true. But you look at that and you look at what's happened today. We've seen the transfer of a midfielder to one of the other clubs that has established themselves as a world oil superpower, ridiculous right. money spending team that is PSG, of Lucas Moura, right?
Right.
What was the fee for that?
For an absurd sum. 45 million pounds, isn't it?
Million euros. 45 million euros? Yeah. Something like
right.
that?
Right. So it's a lot.
I mean, that. So his fee in itself is, covers at least all of what Arsenal have spent so far.
Right. And
go ahead, Tom.
It's for a player that hasn't really proven himself. I mean, he's played in Brazil. I mean, he doesn't even have that many caps internationally. And it's crazy. It's crazy, a team that can spend that much.
Signing, don't you think? I mean, along with the other two big signings, it's, it was between them and United, and they got the player, and United didn't get the player they wanted.
Yeah, this is true. But he's definitely one for the future. I mean, it's interesting to see, all this movement. And we've seen some uncharacteristic behavior by some of the bigger clubs in Europe, because the last action they made is that they basically hijacked Milan for both of their best players. Not only their best attacking player, but their best defensive player. And I don't think that Milan really would complain too much about losing Ibrahimovic. The people that really know Milan kind of knew, when dealing with Zlatan, you kind of know it's a short-term thing. This guy's not, he's a mercenary. He's a great striker. He'll give you a good couple of years, but then he's going to be gone.
He's an accomplished mercenary, though.
He is.
I mean, he's getting paid, but he's also adding to his trophy cabinet. I mean, the guy has won just about everything you can win now.
And he's still,
especially when he's he has still a Ligue 1 collection this year.
This year was the first year, right, that he didn't win the league.
Right? I think so. Yeah,
this is the first year, and I don't know how in a long time that his club did not win the league.
It was like five or six seasons or seven seasons or something that he'd won the league.
Oh yeah, because he won
clubs.
He won an Inter.
Well, if you count the Juve one that they got taken away, they had won the league when he was still at Juve, and then the couple in a row at Inter, then to Barcelona. Then back to Milan.
It'll probably continue this.
Right.
I'm not going to count on Montpellier repeating after losing their top goal scorer and PSG bringing in the house.
And nobody's hanging with PSG financially. I mean, that league it's a shame because France had really been progressing as a league. So, I mean, I think this is going to kill their league development, in my opinion.
It's tough, man, because they really seem to be, it's hard to say if they're going to take the league for granted, and put all their egg. I mean, I know their primary goal is going to be to win the league, but with the squad they're putting together, and like bringing in a guy like Zlatan right now, means that they want to win something soon because he's not a long term project kind of guy. They're not going to count on winning the Champions League. They're not going
to
count on winning
the league and progress. In Europe, that's what they need to do.
But no, they want
to. This is kind of the same, similar, almost try to take a similar path that City did.
Yeah, but But I think they're going to try to. I think they're going to try to speed it up a little bit because I mean, look at, they've literally bought a squad similar to City.
They didn't take the intermediate step that City did. City had that first.
The Mark Hughes era.
Right, well, which had to get them from, you know, struggling to survive all the way up to sixth, fifth place, you know. And then they added and, well, they still have all those other players, though, too.
Yeah, they still can't get them off the books. They still can't get Adebayor. And
they have a much more expensive.
Hey, we know the feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah, we know the feeling.
We have 52K a week Bentner, and they have 175K a week Adebayor.
Yeah,
to get off their books.
But it was good seeing. Well, I don't know. It's crazy seeing that happen to a team like Milan. I know that they've, you know, financially haven't been doing so well. So some of those sales were kind of out of necessity. You know, it was something that kind of what they needed to do. You know, watching them play. I was telling you earlier today. I was watching them play against Madrid. And you're looking at all the new signings, and there's loan signings, there's free transfers, it's bargain basement deals, and you're kind of like, wow, this
guys
is
like Flamini that they were happy to see go.
Right, absolutely. Right. They were ready to see him off at the end of the season, and now.
And it's a bit doom and gloom for a lot of their supporters right now because it hasn't, you know, this is not the Milan they know, or the Milan they're used to, you know. There's talk about, oh, they want Kaká back, but they want him back on a loan.
Right, right. You know, they don't have like the financial clout to deal with the rest of the leagues. But it kind of seems like nobody does at this point in time. I mean,
it's
been a low-key summer.
Very much so. And, you know, Joseph, you were saying something. You think it has to do with the financial fair play actually kind of starting to make a difference.
Well, I think it makes a difference to the clubs that aren't financed by billionaires who will just dump half a billion dollars into their transfers, you know, over a three-year period. You know, nobody else is buying really any. We said QPR is, you know, has the most transfers so far in the English league. I can't recall any big Italian signings, or even besides the one Barcelona signing, what other signings are going on?
Yeah, it's
of any significance.
Juve's actually strengthened a little bit. They've signed a couple of players, but I mean, they're champions, so they can do that.
Nothing big, though. I mean, they've signed a couple of players, but no big splash signings. You know, they talk about
right. They wanted it to be Van Persie or Higuain or Suarez or Dzeko, but I mean, my buddy's a big Juve fan. He says it's looking like it's going to be a bargain basement thing, like a last day transfer, maybe.
Yeah, and that's kind of surprising, but you know, with the state of affairs how they are in Italy, it's just kind of, I guess it's kind of the name of the game right now. And people, but you know, you're right, Joseph, people are going to start having to pay attention to some of these because they're afraid of sanctions coming in, and they gotta, you know, it's what, after this next season, right, that everything kind of comes into,
I think the first stage of the regulations are supposed to come into play. It's not, they still have a period of time to adjust, and they'll get some leeway for the first couple of years. But there isn't that big transfer, at least in, you know, in the English league, that transfers down to, there's no ridiculous amount being from Chelsea buying Torres, which buys Carroll, and then
there's no trickle down
Newcastle. Yeah, that trickle down isn't happening, and the rest of the clubs seem to be maybe just waiting for loan deals or bargain cut rates for some of the guys that are on the fringe at City. Or...
Right.
I think we're going to see a ton of moves in like the last week.
Yeah, there's going to be...
I mean, everyone's biding their time, you know, playing the waiting game, waiting for prices to drop a bit. I mean, look at...
Well, that's what makes this season so hard to predict, because you really can't say anything until the last couple of weeks, because like you said, we're going to see, you know, there will at least be... You know, we probably have not seen half the movement of this entire window. There's going to be all sorts of movement going on. And so it's such a hard thing to predict or to handicap in a sense, because, you know, I'm trying to look at the seed and assess, like, who really are the contenders. And right now, it's pretty clear of the teams that are in contention to really do something. There's, you know, two teams have strengthened significantly, and that's Arsenal and that's Chelsea. In, you know, and but even with Chelsea, like, they've bought players, but like we've said, they're not proven commodities. But
no, and they haven't bought where they needed yet.
True.
They're still in dire need of a right back and a top striker.
How long is Terry going to be out and be suspended, probably?
I don't know. Yeah. I mean,
these are all questions.
It needs to be at least eight games.
So eight games, but
Suarez has.
And hope for no injuries, otherwise, you know. So I don't think Chelsea's going to challenge for the league as it stands now.
Yeah, I don't think so. But, you know, they say...
I think with Arsenal, too, it's hopefully closing the gap towards the other two teams that were right. So significantly ahead of everybody else.
Right, but United still haven't strengthened either. I mean, they bought Kagawa. He's a top player, but, again, they're not addressing their holes either, which is in midfield. They don't need Van Persie. They need Snyder. They need a player to play in midfield.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what they bought Kagawa for. If he's going to play in there, I mean, he can kind of play like for like with what Snyder does. It's not, I don't put them in quite the same class, and I don't know if Kagawa can do as much as what Snyder can do.
But he's one player, and they're still short there. They're extremely short in midfield because they take all their creativity and they push it out wide. They've got. Right. Valencia, they've got what's his face, Michael Jackson lookalike,
Nani.
Nani, there you go.
Thriller MJ, Nani.
Yeah, Black MJ.
Poo. Yeah.
The one outside Fulham, the Nani statue they got out there.
Yeah, the Testament. I wonder if that's where he's gonna go after. It only makes sense. It's like they're building a.
He's a legend. They built a statue of me.
That's a beautiful thing. But I mean, I really think for me, Kagawa addresses a big hole that they have in terms
of
because the one thing we did see that they were absolutely lacking was creativity from the midfield.
Someone
was talking about it today that they didn't think that he might be actually being pushed out wide for them, which would be a really big mistake from Ferguson because
unless they've got another buy in midfield,
unless they have another buy in midfield, it doesn't make any sense.
They're gonna get Lucas. Oh. Fuck, no, that's right.
Yeah.
That's right. So PSG got him, damn it.
I bet maybe Spurs will hope to push Modric that way, maybe.
Since it might have happened to Madrid.
Madrid might be off until the 31st.
But no, we need him to go to Madrid because then we get signed.
Yeah, that's... In the great scheme of things, that's what we as Arsenal fans would like to see.
Right, but, and then they'll bring in João Moutinho, and then you start seeing, you know, the chain reaction that we were talking about earlier.
Right, and the dominoes will all start falling. And so, like we said, I mean, that's what makes it hard to see what, you know, to predict what's going to happen, because we really don't know until that set of reactions goes off. We don't really know what everyone's going to look like. And the biggest question, obviously, for us as Arsenal fans is the one big looming transfer that everyone's been talking about all fucking summer.
Oh God! Here we go.
I know, and we don't need to go too deep into it. Yeah, you know, is our diminutive Russian.
Is it Bentner? We gotta get a top striker off the books. I mean, he wants to go. We want him to go. Let's talk about Bentner.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah, but I mean, we can get into that last little bit. That, you know, it's as it stands with the squad that Arsenal have right now. They look like they could truly be contenders with who we have at the moment.
Right.
You know, that...
A better shot, at least. I don't know. We're still missing... There's still some missing pieces, you know. Defensively...
Did you say a right back? I heard a right back.
There's issues at right back. We hope that players step up in defensive midfield, but...
Yeah.
If they don't, then we're in the same position as last year, letting in.
No. We've come on leaps and bounds from last year.
Well, we'll see. But so, I mean, obviously, there's still some strengthening that needs to be done. That's without a doubt. But I believe that this match.
Very many squads are settled.
No.
And it seems like more odd to me this year than last year seemed, you know, because the lack of transfers, it just seems that there's a lot more teams in flux.
But what I'm saying, we're buying early.
Yeah.
I mean, look, we've made purchases early. It looks good on paper. Now, on paper, the Arsenal strike force at the moment boasts the most depth across the front line in any team. Like, we would have the most dangerous front line in the entire league.
Right.
But
no doubt.
But that's 100% contingent on having Van Persie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And as much as, you know, if we all wish if he was going to leave that he'd leave already, because then we know if it's if that's going to be it, or if we're or if there actually would
be
another attack.
He could stop breaking my heart.
Yeah, but as it stands right now, he's still an Arsenal player. You know, it, if he was going to leave, we wish it would go be to go abroad. People are wetting and bricking themselves over the possibility of him going to Manchester United. And, I mean, I'm just going to maintain that, you know, since I've been supporting Arsenal, we haven't sold anybody to Manchester United. I know someone mentioned some youth signing and someone else from back in the day, but no one of any significance has ever gone one way or the other in recent times, you know. We signed Sylvester as, like, I don't know what kind of favor or what kind of bullshit
quality.
It was that we signed.
Quality
he was
player.
He signed for Sunderland, wasn't he?
Yeah, and then so
or,
we...
No, somebody else.
Someone shit like that. And then we took him for 700K or something. Yeah. We brought him over to be our fourth choice center back.
That's one of the ones that I'll never understand.
Amari
so
Bischoff?
So good. He was just so good. I can't believe we let him go.
I understand Bischoff more because it didn't really cost anything.
Yeah.
He took a chance on him just in case he might regain his fitness, but he didn't.
Yeah, well.
But Sylvester's, that was just horrible.
But the thing is that we've never seen, you know, the big point of contention with most people today is the fact that, like, you know, it's just the concept of the fact that, like, you do not give your best player and the top goal scorer in the league to your direct rival. You know, like I know we've fed quite a few players to Manchester City, but that seems to be something that needs to stop. Because now that they've won the league and have truly announced themselves as being a legitimate, we've got to say it's superpower in the league, you know, like that, you know, if we're going to, I mean, they're champions. They're world,
hey.
They have world class depth at, you know, they're
you know
too
what?
Deep at every position. So, you know, it is what it is, but we do not sell the United. You know, these are things that we need to, you know, that, like, if you really want to win titles, you do not get rid of your top goal scorer and, you know, Premier League player of the season to your direct rival within the league. If he's
right.
going to go, he has to leave the league and go elsewhere. And that's it. Plain and simple. Otherwise, it
you
is...
You know, though...
It's in our best interest to keep the man and make him fucking play
it is.
And score goals.
It is. It's definitely in our best interest because, I mean, you keep him... You start off good, you know, you're in a good place. Come November, maybe he signs an extension. And if not, fuck him. At the end of the season, he's 30 years old. Who's going to take a 30-year-old with an injury record? I mean, who's going to take him?
Well,
and
I mean,
and that'll be his problem to sort out, and it won't be ours.
Well, I mean, maybe he'll get a fat contract and go play for someone else next year, but that's not our problem right now, you know? Like,
right.
Our issue with him, we're not worried about what happens in two seasons with him. You know, we're worried
right.
about right here and now. And with him, we can contend.
Exactly. Undoubtedly, we're stronger with him.
And even without him,
no question.
Even if you get rid of him, this team can still contend. It all just depends on how reasonably well our new strikers, you know, can transition and come in. But obviously, with him, it makes a big difference.
And getting rid of him, I mean, that gives us valuable funds to bring in somebody else. I mean,
I see no value in it. I really don't. Even 15-20, we have a shot at a title with him, and without
that's right.
him, we might have a shot. But with him, I think
we have a shot.
He's a top player.
Know,
he's world class, and the money we get from him, we couldn't buy a player of his caliber. It's a fact.
Maybe we just go deeper. You know, maybe we get into a semifinal of a Champions League, or maybe we get a FA Cup, which I know it's not the big two, but it would be nice to lift. The FA Cup.
Yeah. You know, get that title drought out of the way, you know, or not title drought, but just the silverware. It'd be big. It'd make a big difference. So there's a lot, you know, there's been a lot going on. We're yet to see much of the action. It's all going to kind of fall together as we come together, you know, so it's tough to say. I mean, there's no way we can predict, you know, who's going to be the best, you know. It's hard to pick at all who's going to do well in the league this season. Like, really, there's nothing that can be said until, really, it's all the dominoes fall. And
it's probably going to be – I mean, last
we're
year was
do
a
well.
Pretty exciting – overall, it was a pretty exciting, you know, league competition, I think. We're
yeah.
set up for about the same.
And I think for us as Arsenal fans, it's going to be a little bit more exciting because I don't think we're going to have that stumble out of the blocks that we did last year to where, like, where in the first – 2 months.
It was crippling.
I mean, well, right. And, well, but I mean, how often is it like 2 months, one or 2 months into the season, you already know you're out of the title race? Like
that's fucking heartbreaking.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking for people. You know, we do know and remember being in title races recently. So
right, I was fucking gutted. I wanted the season over after the 8-2. I was like, Jesus, can we call it a day?
Yeah, that was brutal.
You know what though? We showed great mental strength to bounce back from that.
And we've got players coming back like a new signing.
Yeah.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Jack Wilshere, Abu Dhabi, like a new signing. Yeah. Sanya, he's going to be like a new signing.
They're all
Santos. Santos is like a new signing because he might play him in midfield.
But, you know, it's been as much as I'm ready for this silly season to be over, because it really is quite silly and just a bunch of bullshit.
Well, it hasn't been as silly as seasons past.
Well, right. I mean, this is definitely an improvement on the summer we had last year for us, but I'm just saying in general, worldwide.
Yeah, last summer sucked. At least this summer we're just worrying about one player leaving us.
Only one. No, actually, we're not worrying about only one, but we're not going to go there. So
I'm not worried about it. If he stays or if he goes, it's not a big deal. I think we've strengthened. I think we're going to continue to strengthen. Ideally, he stays, and I'm happy.
Yeah, but Joseph and I are referencing Song, not Van Persie.
Yeah. No, you're right.
I'm referencing somebody else.
Oh, right. Joseph will be happy to see plenty of players leave the Arsenal squad. But we have been fortunate.
But not Henry Lansbury. He wants Lansbury to stay.
Yeah.
He loves Lansbury.
I hate that guy.
Team Henners.
All right,
enough talk about Arsenal reserves. We don't need to get into this shit. They're not important.
I don't hate Lansbury, just like on record.
No, you hate him. You hate the Dougie. You hate Henry Lansbury. You hate Nando's. And Craig Eastman is your best friend.
Everybody hates Craig Eastman, to be fair.
Sounds like a new profile description.
There you go.
Yeah. Who likes Craig Eastman? That's what I want to know.
Nando's.
All right, enough. Yeah, Nando's.
Frequent flyer. Our biggest customer.
But so what we have had over recent time is we've actually had some football to watch. We did have the Euros, which definitely made up for some lost time over the summer, and then
we had a 2 week abyss of no football and
of
no news
absolutely
and
nothing.
No back and forth over anything. That was kind of hard.
But it's been followed up with an Olympic soccer tournament, which is one of those things that I generally don't really give two shits about. I mean, I always enjoy it. I like to watch a little bit. I remember the last one I enjoyed, I got to watch a little bit of Alex Song playing for Cameroon. Messi was playing for Argentina.
I saw Barcelona and Chicago, and Messi wasn't there because he was on Olympic duty. I was pissed.
Yeah, that would piss me off.
Titi, though. Titi was there.
Yeah, well, that's got to be sweet. But I think we've actually seen a pretty decent tournament. I've actually followed it relatively closely, and there's been some pretty decent football on display. I think there's been a couple surprises. Obviously, you know, everyone expected Spain to do well, and they really didn't do shit. They were out after two games, losses.
They lost their shit.
Right.
Mentally, they just could not deal with it losing either.
Yeah, yeah.
And Barca's new signing lost his shit too.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, but it's been a decent tournament though. We've seen there's been a couple surprises. The Asian teams have done pretty well, you know. The prolific Arsenal striker
Park Ju-young
technically could be freed from his military duty if he wins a bronze medal against Japan.
That's what I'm talking about.
And Japan came through and they played pretty well. And they played both those teams. I mean, they kind of, for me, I think is kind of the stereotypical thing about the way the Asian teams play. They play very, very structured, very organized, and put together a pretty good showing to do well and make it all the way to the semifinals before bowing out to a couple of the favorites of the tournament. I mean, obviously, the favorites for the tournament were always going to be Spain and Brazil.
Right.
But a lot of people were talking about Uruguay and Mexico as also being teams that had really legitimate shots because there's a lot of talent. Mexico has been winning everything at every level for about the past 2 years. Like, what have they lost? You know, they've won under 17, under 19, you know, all these different, you know, they've been winning. Gold Cup. They've been winning everything across the board. And this team as well, with a bunch of new, you know, younger players, like a lot of players I didn't recognize, have put in quite a good showing at the tournament.
But the Brazilian team, it's almost unfair because a lot of those players play for their senior team, despite being that young. I mean, you've got like Neymar and Oscar and these guys. It's crazy.
Yeah, and there's
that same up top didn't work for Uruguay.
No. Yeah, but I mean, yeah, exactly. Because look at Uruguay; they're playing
right. I mean, their strikers are unbelievable.
If I could trade strikers any team, I guess the only team that kind of competes, I guess Brazil and Uruguay are kind of on par. But I would actually take Uruguay strikers. I'd take
Cavani and Forlan.
Well, Forlan wasn't there, I'd take Cavani and Suarez. Jesus. I mean, Cavani and Suarez are legitimately like number one strikers at top clubs in the world.
Right.
You know, like I would.
One's at a mid-table club.
Well, all right.
Yeah,
all right.
Small club.
Fair enough. Well, they're both top strikers.
Yes.
Right.
If you told me I could trade Cavani for Van Persie straight up right now, I'd bite your hand off.
I'd fuck it.
But that's beside the point because they didn't have a good tournament.
Suarez might
be
burned out. He hasn't had a break since he's.
We can only hope.
Not true. He had that 8-game break for. Being an awful racist.
Oh man.
You know what you get for being a racist at Liverpool?
A bonus.
Contract extension.
Yep, yeah. A 4-year contract.
Triples your wages. You don't say. I wonder I feel like King. It would make more sense if King Kenny was there when he got that raise, though. You know, it would seem more fitting.
That'd be shouting racial slurs all day.
But I think we're actually. The one thing I forgot to mention about this tournament, we actually got to see something interesting because the Great Britain put out a team and actually had everyone play together, and so we actually got to see Aaron Ramsey playing, Craig Bellamy. They had an interesting squad put together, and I thought they were going to do pretty well. But kind of in typical British English fashion, they bowed out of the quarterfinals and weird lost in a penalty shootout.
Yeah, that was brutal,
unfathomable,
brutal to watch. You know, because we have get a player there, you hope does well and gains in confidence.
He made 2 out of 3 penalties.
He made 2 out of 3 penalties.
he did good. I'm happy for him. He played well.
Well,
I didn't get it.
I think with that personnel. I don't know. It seemed it wasn't enjoyable to watch, which is perfectly what I would expect from Pierce. You know.
Yeah.
I blame Danny Rose. Fucking Danny Rose. Danny Rose.
That one pump chump. That fucking blew his wad his first
Literally
game for
time.
Piece of shit.
Where was his fucking wonder goal that game?
Yeah. Useless twat.
So what you get when you play for that lot.
Yeah, well. It is what it is, but so now we're left with a final. We're going to see Mexico against Brazil this weekend, which is going to be something. I think it'll be pretty good for the neutral spectator because they always go at it against each other. And if there's any team that has Brazil's number, it's Mexico. They've beaten them several times over the past few years. I think famously when they beat Brazil in the Copa America a while back, it was a few years ago. But the thing is that they're one of the teams that like Brazil never wants to play Mexico.
Well, I enjoyed what about I do remember enjoying about the tournament so far is the good showing by Mexico and Honduras for CONCACAF.
Yeah, they've done well.
Other teams got to see it's not the easiest. Federation to play. Everybody plays physical, and they play hard. Mexico's done well. I thought Honduras did well too.
Yeah, and then the thing that everyone's talking about is like, are they leaving the United States in the dust? You know, because of their good showing, is there a gap? You know,
they're ahead.
No, they're ahead.
If you go by the tournaments, just like you mentioned, and what they've been winning, and the fact that they qualified, the U.S. didn't for this tournament.
Well, but I mean, also
they are ahead.
Yeah, but then and like we said,
the next generation might be ahead too.
Absolutely, because they're winning, like we're saying, this U23 team is in the final at the Olympics.
Right.
This is not the senior team. The U19, the U17s, all have won their respective championships in the past couple of years. So they look pretty well set up for the next few generations. The United States is gonna definitely have their work cut out for them.
Right, but may I interject? Carlos Vela. So I just want to throw that out there because he was great at youth level.
Yeah, well, I mean, but he's a prototypical over-talented. You know what I mean? Like he's a spoiled youth. He's a kid that comes from Cancun that was the top dog, the top goal scorer in the U-17 World Cup a couple of years ago in 2007. And, you know, if his work ethic matched his talent, he'd be a guy that would be a household name right now. But he's not.
And you think he'll kick on at Sociedad?
No.
I mean,
I think he'll have he'll have a career.
I think he'll be all right. I mean, who knows? I mean, there's definitely a chance, but it all depends on something upstairs, and those are the intangibles that kind of,
right?
You know, we'll see if they make a difference.
But, he did good last season.
Yeah, he did. He did pretty well. I mean, we'll see. We'll see if he spends less time with tranny hookers and more time on the, you know, on the training pitch. You know, hey. He's not busy organizing parties for the Mexican national team. Yeah, exactly. You know,
that's always tranny hookers and hooker parties. Come on,
I hope Mexico put up a good showing. It's a tight game.
I'll be rooting for my Mexican brethren. You know, I'll be fuck it.
I don't know if I'll be rooting for Mexico, but I hope they put up a decent fight. Don't get embarrassed.
I just want to see a good match. Really, it doesn't.
That's what I want. So I just want a good game. I don't care either way.
I want to see spectacular goals, but from Neymar.
Yeah, please, more Neymar.
Yeah. More Neymar. We can never have enough of that.
Right.
So we're going to have that final. And the funny thing is, we have the Community Shield.
Sunday.
Not that anyone cares about Chelsea or City.
I forgot about it until today.
The only
Moneyball.
The two matches I want to see this weekend are the Brazil-Mexico final and the German Super Cup, which is going to be Bayern against Borussia Dortmund.
Oh. There's the women's game. I'll probably watch it.
Yeah, and I get that's not during the weekend. That's tomorrow. That's tomorrow, right?
Yeah.
So we're gonna see the one American team that's not embarrassing us right now, who actually made it to the tournament.
Yeah,
absolutely obliterated Canada in the last round.
Just shit on them.
Just
with no help from the referee at all.
Just blew them out of the water for the 27th straight time.
It's pretty heartbreaking.
It's completely heartbreaking. No, to be perfectly honest, Canada put in an amazing showing, and that was a great game of football. And I don't say that too often. I mean, I enjoy watching women's football on the biggest stage, you know, and like we really do have good competitors, and I love watching like this women's team really knows, how to fight and how to battle, and we've seen, and even with like. One of the most impressive things I saw in that match, like that Canadian midfielder took an absolute cunting in the middle of the field. She had that knee-to-knee collision.
Yeah.
Right.
And walked it off and came back. And like, dude, that, like, I looked at that and my knee was hurting. I was just watching that. And I was just like, dude, I thought it was done.
Both teams played so physical. I think they beat the hell out of each other.
And that's awesome to watch because sometimes, you know, with the guys, the men's teams, it gets a little theatrical. You know, I love the sport, but sometimes it's just, get up, come on, you're fine.
And it's funny that there's so much less of that in the women's game. It's impressive.
I think the only team I've seen really do that was in the last World Cup was Brazil, who was their theatrics, and the crowd was getting a little pissed off at it.
Yeah.
Other than that, most of them, it's pretty genuine competition.
Yeah.
And just both fighting it out.
Yeah, so it's been good, and, you know, by the time this is uploaded, the game will probably be over with. But, you know, we are seeing a rematch of the... of last year's World Cup final. We see Japan, United States. I mean, you couldn't ask for any more at this stage. I mean, that's the game that the advertisers, that's the game that everyone wanted to see, you know. Right. The match that everyone wants to see is what we're going to get. Yeah, and so we're going to see something special tomorrow, and it's you know, and I'm looking forward to it, and hopefully our American girls can pull it out.
Hopefully the US women can, if they get a lead, retain a little bit of possession and not concede.
Right, that's the thing to work on.
Conceding three goals against Canada, I mean, you know, I kept seeing a bunch of this team deserved to win, you know, goals, I'm not sure any team deserved to win.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, one team won, and they kept going until they won.
Yep.
Right.
I mean, both those teams were deserving.
And Alex Morgan. she's the most deserving.
Yes.
She's
right.
She's a deserving player.
She deserves
I think
all the plaudits.
Deserves a little more too. Sydney LaRue.
Yeah, I think they both deserve. I think they both deserve something. But that's. I will make sure to give them a good reception when they come back to.
Absolutely.
I'll bring out the. Yeah, she's Alex Morgan's from our hood, so we got to give her a good reception when she gets back to Southern California. So, plenty of good football on the horizon. We got the new season kicking off. One of the beautiful things really is the. Just the hope of a new season, really, is something, you know, like the excitement's really starting to kick in.
I've missed it. You know, I said last week sometime, I'm just looking forward to the matches and the stress even and the excitement and you know, hanging out with people watching matches and talking about the matches. I'm really looking forward to this season a lot.
Yeah. Well, we got a lot to look forward to. So onward and upward, and let's Rhett, forward.
Forward. That's right. That's the key word there.
Forward.
That doesn't appear anywhere on the shirt this year, does it?
No, I don't think so.
Nope.
No, none of that. Just purple and some stripes.
Purple rain.
Purple rain.
Purple rain.
We're going to make it rain. And so, and so we'll be
my
getting...
My socks should be coming soon. God. I know it's a tangent, but I got some socks. Of the socks.
You ordered the socks?
Oh, hell
yeah. They
look
cool. They look sweet.
You know, I think more than the kit itself, people like or don't like it. It's grown on some people. I like it, but
I love it.
It's all the training. It's the sweatshirts. It's the polos off of those colors. Nike's going to be happy with the results this year on what they sell.
They're getting balls deep on that, man.
They're balls deep. They're balls deep.
Oh, man. Anything on that note, we're going to end that. Thank you, gentlemen, for coming out. And joining me on this week's Pintcast, I've been joined here by Sean. You can follow him on Twitter at Flargy, FLARGIE, and my good friend Joseph Up the Arse. You can follow him at I Hate Your Club. And so plenty of good football to watch. The season's just around the corner, and couldn't be more excited. So thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
No problem.
And we'll be back next week with more delicious pints for your ears.